We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Friday, April 4th. We had a major technical difficulty yesterday, and it wasn't due to the podcast or anybody else's fault outside of a transformer blowing right down the road. 1,400 of us lost power. But we are back, and we are ready to rock and roll. I'm Rob White, Fighting Texas A, Class of 14. In case you don't recognize me, thanks to the new mustache thing going on here. That's been a recent addition.
Nice. I'm Roy May, Fighting Texas A, Class 2015, and we've got some things to talk about.
Yes, we do. It has been a busy few weeks since we've been away. Between Aggie baseball continually not winning series, granted, finally taking a game, but the whole sequence that took place there was wild. Basketball exiting a hair early than we were hoping, plus Buzz is out, and we currently still don't have a coach. And on top of that, softball, little cherry on top, is doing very well for us right now. So that's been a positive.
Yeah, softball's, carrying the load right now for Aggie Athletics.
Yeah, them and women's tennis.
Yeah, I had a chance to go out to a game last weekend, softball game. I'll tell you what, Emily Kennedy, like you see it on TV, but when you're in person, that ball hits the catcher's mitt different. You know how like certain pitchers, you get that pop.
Yeah.
And then Maya and there were a couple of them. And obviously Mac. And there were actually, I think Coco Woolley squared one up too. Just the way that ball comes off their bat, the sound of it.
Yeah.
It's just different. And so they're a really fun team to watch. And in the dugout too. I mean, they're out there having a blast.
Well, and it's always more fun when you're winning, right? I mean, that's just a fact of life. But
that's correct.
But you also have great team chemistry. What Trisha Ford's been able to build over there has been incredible. And she's doing it in one of the nicest ballparks in America at this stage of the game. And a growing fan base, which is good to see. And I understand we've talked about it ad nauseum on this podcast, but if you win, they come, and people are coming out and they're being very supportive of softball. And you love
And Davis is just—it's such a great place, and when you throw them in a bowl and mix them together, like just the quality of Davis Diamond as a whole, and the quality of the 12th man, and then the quality of the play, like Davis Diamond is—it's a ton of fun. They're rocking, like you got to get out there. It was a really good time. They were playing LMU, so it was just kind of a steamroll weekend. But they steamrolled like they were supposed to, right?
Exactly, they did their job.
Yeah, and so they're on the road this weekend. They've actually got a Saturday, Sunday, Monday series against Georgia.
Yes, yeah, going on the road to Athens. So we'll have to wait one day before they get into it. And another ranked matchup on the road, which is never easy in the SEC or really anywhere else. But.
It's conference, so it's ranked pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
But that Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I haven't checked the schedule yet. They do that because ESPN has been trying to do like Monday night softball.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if they're the game that's televised on Monday night.
I would assume so based on what I'm looking at on the schedule here. So right now you have Georgia. All three games are nationally televised, mind you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, all three games. So you have ESPN2 on Saturday, and the ladies are kicking off at 4 p.m. Then 4 p.m. again on Sunday. That'll be on the SEC Network. And then once again on the SEC Network, it'll be at 5 p.m. Monday night. Monday night softball going on.
Yeah, that's an interesting kind of like marketing move, honestly, like doing the Monday night thing. I think the first time I saw it, I thought it was really weird. But I mean, think about this time of year. What's on Monday nights? Like absolutely nothing.
Not a thing. I mean, you have baseball on Tuesdays and then Saturdays, typically Friday, Saturday, Sundays, right? There's nothing going on Monday.
Well, and they've got to the point in their schedule. I don't know how many midweek games they have left.
We can check.
But, it's not as big of a deal.
Because they have one midweek left.
Yeah. So, and what is it this week? And they're playing probably Wednesday?
They're playing April 22nd. They'll be going up against Louisiana on a Tuesday. Everything else we're looking at. LSU here, Missouri on the road, Arkansas here, Tennessee on the road, and then it's the SEC tournament.
Yeah, so it's, so they got the scheduling right, everything. You don't have to worry about a midweek game and getting crammed short for that next weekend series. So, yeah, I love it. I think it's great. The more visibility, the better. We've seen, and not that I'm comparing the two, but we've seen the growth of the Premier League because of what Peacock has done and what TNT has done, and picked all, or USA Network, and picked all this stuff up, and we've seen the growth of it. And so I really enjoyed. Obviously, we're fortunate with the SEC Network, and the ACC and the Big Ten have theirs. I think the Big does Big 12 have one? I don't even know.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. But Pac-12 does. That's who had one. That's right.
Had one. Rip.
Had rip.
Rip.
Just the ability to watch all your home games on the SEC Network, as long as you have the streaming stuff, it was genius. It was great, right? But now they're even kind of going further, and we saw this with hockey. Like, hockey is, it's a popular sport in America, but it is well behind, the big three: football, basketball, and baseball. But them starting to try and do Hockey Night in America on ESPN, where you like these Tuesday or Wednesday night, hockey games. And so it's really kind of genius marketing. The trickle down into all sports, I've enjoyed being able to watch, softball, anytime I want to, pretty much. Except for, those early season, invitationals when they're out in like Clearwater and stuff like that. But even that, like, we got a couple of games televised from that too. So it was, that softball has done, like, as a whole, nationwide, has done a great job of promoting their product. It's a fast game, so it's easy on the eyes. It's a palatable kind of product, because you're not locked in for 3.5 hours, so it's, and I, and I like softball, so it's just been really enjoyable to kind of watch it grow in that space. And when you hear Amanda Scarborough and Tori Vidalis talking about it, either when they're on the Tex when they're on Tex Ags, or even on the broadcast, they really talk about the growth of the game. So it's been really fun to watch, and like you said, it's always more fun when you're winning.
Always, always, and we'll definitely keep up with the girls this weekend. Hopefully, they pull out. I mean, once again, you don't expect a sweep on the road, but if you can find a way, that'd be amazing. But
Oof.
yep, go out there and take a series if you can.
Yeah, if you can take the series on the road, that's, like you said, a top 25 matchup. That's a big statement,
It
and
is.
it'll be a big statement that you make on national television.
Yeah, and in a road environment, that's always a ton of fun. So we'll keep an eye on those ladies and see how
Yeah,
they do.
they are the hunted.
They are the hunted right now, yes. And then you take your eyes to the other diamond and what we've been seeing with baseball. And so you are sitting at 1-8 in conference play at the moment. If you want to make the tournament, you want to get to at least 500 with that. And your
Yeah.
schedule is not exactly
Conducive.
conducive for this
Yeah.
at this stage with what we've seen. Now, I like. Let's take some positives. I like that we came back, and we were coming back in a lot of these games that we had to play with against Kentucky. But if you look at Kentucky as a baseball program and as a baseball team this year, they're kind of a middle of the road team, and it's an unfortunate reality. A&M sitting at 500
Yeah, overall.
overall.
Yeah, and like that Saturday game, I mean, you're at home, you score 11 runs, or yeah, you score 11 runs. Like, you got to win those games.
You
Like,
have to.
it doesn't matter who you're playing. If you put up 11 runs, you have got to win that game, especially at home. And now you have the daunting task of going to Knoxville against the number one team in the nation. And
They're looking to put one on you too because you were the number one team and they want to tell everybody.
they're gonna rub it in. They're gonna rub it in bad. If they get the opportunity. Sorrell's back.
He
He's
was
just
back.
he's not 100%. And then you see Josh Stewart is done. So
Which
it's,
another bad loss.
yeah, it's just, it's getting kicked while we're down kind of thing. It's a tough baseball season, man. I mean, that midweek game next week at Sam, Sam's dying to win that game.
Yeah, they haven't looked 100% by any means, but Sam would love that game.
Yeah, and then you
And
got so I mean, just counting, just going down the list, at Tennessee, I don't think you take a game, so you're 1-11. South Carolina at home, it's probably your best shot. So let's say they win the series, so you're 3-12.
then you're at Arkansas.
And then you're at Arkansas.
Then you're at Texas.
Let's say you take one on the road at Arkansas, so you're 4-14. Then you got, on the road at Texas.
Hypothetically, they could prevent us. I mean, they could pretty much hit the nail in the coffin to prevent us from making the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you take that serious. You're 5-16.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, 6, 11, 14. I mean, you'd literally have to sweep out to hope.
Right. And
Now, I'm not saying they can't go take one on the road to Tennessee.
I'm not saying that either.
It's still baseball.
And that's the beauty of the game, right? Like, it is baseball. You do see turnarounds happen. We've seen it in previous seasons. I know everybody I've been talking to has been constantly referring to 2022 Ole Miss.
Ole Miss.
I understand the references there. Obviously, last team to make the field. A lot of people thought they didn't belong there. And yet they make the tournament and got hot at the right time. And the problem is, I'm not really worried about our bats getting hot. We've seen that they can score, and they did so against Kentucky. They did certainly did so against Incarnate Word in the midweek. I mean, love of God, you put up 21 runs on them. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter if you can't close out a game with your relief pitching.
Yeah, it's the bullpen has been obviously disappointing.
Extremely.
They can't seem to find the right combo. They can't seem to find the right timing, as far as when we're pulling pitchers out. So it's just been really tough. I mean, you can try and find some bright spots, but
Yeah.
it's a little bit sunshine pumping to try and find bright spots for a team that was number one preseason and is now 500 on the year. And I get that there were injuries, but that there aren't enough injuries to validate this. And I think that's the most disappointing part. You just kind of look at like where do they go from here, right? Like so the next thing is, I mean, what are you going to do?
Well, and
And
I love the people that will say, like, well, you're at the bottom, the only place to go is up. Well, or you can just keep riding along the bottom. Like, that's just a reality. Like, that happens to teams. It's happened to teams in the past. I'm not saying that that's what we're going to do. I would like to think that it's not what these guys are going to do. I mean, yeah, we have a quote from Michael Early saying, these guys don't have any quit in them. And I'm like, that's great, but I need to see some giddy up too.
yeah, it's just tough, man.
It
But hope springs eternal when it comes to baseball. And if you can go to Tennessee and at least pick up one, I think you actually feel pretty good about that.
Yeah.
And like you said, there's turnarounds and they can happen. It's just from what I've like, it's not that we're right there, And that's I think probably the biggest issue is a turnaround is not very realistic because we're not, just on the cusp of pulling all these games up. We're not.
No, it feels like, well, I mean, if you let's just look back at this Kentucky series, right? You go down early in all of these games and had to crawl out of a hole where you were able to pull off the win in game one. And yet you score a ton of runs to stay very competitive in game two, and then your relief pitching falls apart. Game three, I don't even want to get into the whole situation with the clock. I mean, I know a lot of people were making a big fuss about it, but the reality is, don't put yourself in a position where you're down 5 runs trying to force your guys to get into strikeout so you can possibly get a shot in the ninth. Like, take care of your business in the early innings, and this is a non-issue. It's as simple as that. You can't look at these little quick situations where somebody will say, well, if this had just happened or if that just happened, like, well, if you score, more than 5 runs in this particular game or prevent 10, it becomes a very different situation.
Yeah, I mean, you can talk about the, I don't want to call it firepower because it's not like we have it, but what we thought was firepower, this is not a team built to play from behind. So they have got to find ways to get out early. They have got to like jump on it early. You've got to score runs in the first two or three frames. You absolutely have to. And it's got to happen every game. And I don't care how they manufacture the runs. I don't care if we're playing
Either.
bloop and blast ball. I don't care if we're bunting literally the entire game. I don't care how we do it. Get because the problem is we're not a fast team though. And so manufacturing runs through base running is not ideal. So we've and I and you know earlier in the season when we were losing some games, it was like, man, they're barreling the ball up and we're just hitting it right at people. The
Right.
lot like the odds of that occurring for an entire baseball season are basically zero, right?
Right.
Like just absolutely barreling balls and hitting it right at people. But it comes to a point where, like, personally, I don't understand the situational hitting.
Yeah.
It's sidebar. I think the shift should be banned in college, by the way.
Yeah, at this stage, I would say so.
But at the same time, if you're a good enough hitter, the shift shouldn't affect you. I'll die on that hill. I really will, because I grew up watching Cal Ripken, who would just wherever you moved, he'd hit it where you just moved from, and that's it's quality hitting. And I get that there are some dudes that are built to hit bombs, and that's their swing plane, that's their strength, and I understand that they're going to do that, but like we've got to start manufacturing runs, and it's got to be smart hitting. One thing that I've noticed over and over and over again, and it's not just one guy, is really like pulling out of their swings. And so, you stand far enough off the plate, and then you're pulling out, and you've basically given up half, the outside half of the plate. This is like major league, trying to hit curveballs. The breaking the terrible swinging at breaking balls has been fascinating to me. I'm sick of the patient approach. Like, I'm gonna take the first pitch, period. Stop. It's not working. Like,
It hasn't been
look at
working.
the record, look at the averages. It's not working. You need to get in the box and be ready to unleash because the book is out on the entire lineup. We're gonna sit there and let you throw a strike right down the middle every first pitch, and we're rarely even thinking about that. Like, we may as well be holding the bat by the barrel on the first pitch because we're not going to swing.
Well, and maybe that's just something indicative of the big three sports for A&M. I feel like that's been kind of a running deal over the last several times. Last several seasons with these teams. If you look back at like what was going on under Jimbo with football, you knew what our play calls were going to look like on offense. You know,
Predictability.
with Buzz, he's going to pull up for threes even though we don't sh shoot those very well, and we're going to work our way in. And with these, at least so far with early teams, we're sitting on that first pitch regardless. It's like you have to be dynamic as a coach. You have to be dynamic in your play calling. You got to be dynamic in your approach. You just have to be.
Well, I think what's probably what the most upsetting thing is I understand being patient and working counts. I really do. All right. Like, I understand that aspect of the game. Trust me, I do. But when something is not working, again, we go back to the definition of insanity, because you're starting off in a hole and then you're swinging at bad pitches and it's forcing you to swing at bad pitches. And the plate discipline has also been questionable at best, at some of the pitches they swing at. Let's get past the letting the first pitch go right down the middle. I mean, we're some of the breaking balls that we're swinging at from spot one to spot nine, everywhere in between, are, I
Horrendous.
mean, it's yeah, horrendous. These guys have, I mean, some of these things that they're some of these pitches they're swinging, and I get like I'm not going to stand in the box and hit a breaking ball, all right? But that's not my job. It's when they choose to swing is baffling. And when they choose not to is baffling. It's the entire approach, and it's pretty much up and down the lineup. And like you said, you have to be dynamic. And look, if that's your philosophy and approach, that's great. But if you can't look in the mirror right now, right this minute, and look at and say, we are 500 overall and we are 1-8 in league. What we're doing isn't working. Like, you have got to change it. And what better time to change it than on the road at number one? Get out there, be aggressive, swing at first pitches, play clean baseball. It's literally been the whole thing, man. Starting pitching has been good. It's been good. It's not as good as it was earlier in the season. As you get into conference, you face tougher opponents. So that's
Natural.
expected. The middle relief and the closing has been bad. It's just not been good. Like, we'll score runs to try and get back into it, and they turn around and they give all the momentum away and they give up runs in the very next half of the inning. And you see that repeatedly. Like, the offense, we just touched on the offense. And then we pile on the fact that we're playing like crap on defense. And so you're not executing any part of the game at a high level right now. And And pitching is what it's going to be, man. Like, the guy's got to hit spots. That's just all there is to it. You got to hit spots, and you've got to, that's, there's nothing else you can do with pitching, right? I don't know if the bullpen guys and, or it's a confidence issue, because it's not a confidence issue with our starting pitching. I don't think it is. It's just missing spots. But you wonder, are they standing on that mound feeling so much pressure, having to hit these spots, knowing that whoever comes in behind them, isn't as accurate, currently now has a track record of giving up runs, and they know that they're not going to get a lot of offensive support regularly. Now that's starting to change a little, but as a whole, so there's so much pressure on these starting pitchers to have to be honestly perfect. And when you're pressing to be perfect on the mound, you will make a lot of really bad mistakes, and then a team like Tennessee will make you pay.
They will.
I mean, Kentucky made us pay. I mean, if Kentucky makes you pay, what do you think's going to happen in Knoxville? And what do you think's going to happen with LSU? What do you think's going to happen with the Sips? And so, they have so much pressure to be basically perfect because they're not getting support anywhere else. I mean, even the defense behind them. So it's just been tough, man. And so, you challenge coach to be like, look, man, you have got to change your philosophy. And I don't care if you literally completely flip the entire thing starting right now. Like, if you change everything you're doing, because everything you're doing currently
Isn't
is not
working.
working. So it's just been a tough season. I'm not going to sit here and bag on any specific player. There's been some fun bright spots here and there.
I mean, Keel's
But
been excellent, right? I mean, he's batting 362 right now. He's looking great.
he was fun to watch because, he obviously surged at the beginning of the season, and the book kind of got out on him, and it was easy to put him down. But he's made adjustments. So it's been fun to watch him make those adjustments. But some big names, you're not getting what you were hoping to get. Hensler's been good. Jace is obviously hitting bombs. But they shift Jace, and he, for some reason, he refuses to go opposite field, knowing that he's fully capable of it. And I think another thing is we're at the point we're at, with record and currently one win in conference. And we talked about pressing on the mound. They are pressing everywhere. And as a hitter, when you're pressing, it's the same thing as a pitcher. You're going to swing at bad pitches. If you make contact on a bad pitch generally ends up as an out. And so it's just pressing across the board. Like, these guys know how to field a baseball, right? So are they just pressing themselves too much? Like, is it just too much pressure for these guys out in the field? And so it's just, I don't know. I don't have any solutions for it. And that's the problem. Like, I don't know. My only suggestion is literally just change everything. Start swinging at the first pitch. Where you have speed, you have to utilize it. Like, if Keel gets thrown out running a lot, that's okay, man. You've got to run him. You've got to find ways to get on base. And if that means putting in George so he can run, because he's got some legs. But outside of that, there's just not a lot. I mean, Jace has got speed, obviously. So those are your three speedsters. But from there, it's a pretty significant drop off. I mean, Hayden Schott's basically running on one leg. Caden Sorrell can barely run. Like, he basically either has to hit a ball. Like, I mean, he could hit a ball that's a double or a triple, but it's going to be a single because he can't get around the bases. And so it's great to have his bat back, but and it's just everything across the board. I think that's probably what's most upsetting, is it's not like, man, we can't score any runs, and that's it, right? Playing great defense, pitching well, or man, our bullpen's rough. Like, our offense has really got to start scoring, 10 runs a game instead of eight. It's the bats. Yeah, I mean, last weekend was encouraging. Runs on the scoreboard. Yes,
Plenty of them,
it's a. But it just seems like when one thing goes well on this team, something else decides to falter. And they have yet to play a complete baseball game. Like, we could probably go all the way back to the first weekend and beating up on Elon. I don't care. That's not perfect baseball anyways. It's just, and the errors started early and often. So there's I'm sure there are a couple of games where they all three phases they were firing also. Yeah, earlier this week, right? But it's, you got to do it against better competition. And it looked like they were going to maybe do it against Kentucky, and it just kind of folded. And I think that's where a lot of the frustration is coming from. It's just, they just can't put together a three-phase game.
Yeah, and
Rant complete.
Yeah, and so it's certainly going to be something as the rest of this season goes on. We're going to have to continue to keep an eye on how the situation plays out. There's some questions that we're going to address here in a little bit that are definitely talking about what the situation may look like by the end of the year with early, but we'll go ahead and get on into that here in a little while. Quick pivot, basketball. Got some news as of just a little while ago. So, on the, without giving out names and sources and all that, but apparently the name that has been thrown around quite a bit at this stage is Samford's Bucky McMillan for the next coach for men's basketball. All I know is this entire basketball debacle this past week was incredible to watch. Not a single, there's, I think there's one player left on the roster that had minutes. That is still here. Everybody else has either hit the portal or they're gone.
Well, they're in the portal. Well, and I understand everybody putting their name in the portal. I mean,
Right.
I probably would too,
Same
right?
thing happened in baseball last year, right?
It's
Everybody hit the
a,
portal.
yeah, but a little bit of a wait and see, right? So I understand that. That's not quite like, it's not time to freak out because everybody, entered the portal. It's like me, yeah, I get it. But the reality is, and John said something about this, she was, said a couple names and she was like, those aren't splash hires for me. The only splash hire was going to be Beard.
And even then,
That was going to be the only splash hire. And even then, we would have taken some lumps on hiring him.
no question. And when the name got announced, even I had my hangups about it. I was like, I don't know if I want all that baggage. I mean, I understand he's a good coach, but
Yes.
how often have we gone into situations where we hire, well, the not great guy to help us win, and then he runs off and does whatever he wants to do anyway, right? I mean, that just happened with Sloss. I didn't want that to happen with Beard. Sure, he'd
Well,
come in.
from a strictly a coaching standpoint, he was a home run. He was a splash hire. But
But you use that situation, which he approaches A&M wanting, trying to dish out a deal. And then leverages that deal to get a better deal at Ole Miss.
that happens all the time everywhere,
Happens
though.
all the time.
For me, though, I mean, so you don't get Beard. McCaslin's told you no. And those were really, to me, the top two.
I agree.
Outside of some random, you're going to pull somebody, from their job. Like, just like that's not going to happen. The Samford coach, we basically went from either hiring Beard or McCaslin to, So what you hope is, you can get a lower salary, and what you were going to spend in salary, you can implement in the NIL.
Right.
What is it? Huss and Murray are two other names.
Huss,
It's
Chris
just,
Mack, Luke Murray are kind of the four names that have been thrown around more than anybody.
if I were, I wouldn't want to be the AD right now. He's got to get this one right.
Well, and he's been getting just absolutely railed, raked over the coals recently
Yeah.
with everything. And I understand, with the early situation. That is a hanging, that's definitely hanging over his head. And this is kind of your first real, like, big hire that you've got to get right.
Yeah.
And the fact that you've already lost out on the two that everybody was, I won't say everybody was hoping for, but the two names that would have made people go, oh, interesting.
The two
Right.
names that were top notch would have been top
Exactly.
notch hires basketball wise.
Right. Now, I mean, there's always the possibility that you can develop somebody up and grow them. But
The Nate Oates model.
yeah, exactly. And I mean it can work, but once again, just like anything else in the world, that's a gamble. You don't know if that guy's got what it takes to compete at a high level and take you to that next level. You just don't know.
Yeah, my if I had to pick one, if I was the AD, those were my options, right? Basically, what's the same first guy's name?
Bucky McMillan.
Yeah, that's right. McMillan, Huss, or Murray, because I think those are probably the three that you pretty much are landing on at this point.
Yeah.
Again, unless he's got some sort of coup going on behind the scenes we're unaware of.
Yeah.
I would probably take Huss just based off of what I've read.
Right.
I wouldn't mind Murray because I think that maybe means Bill Murray would come to town. Yeah, that's literally my argument for him. And so, but to do what Huss did at High Point is impressive. You know, I mean,
It
it's
is.
High Point, like
Yeah.
so. But
Well, it
again, you always wonder when you get guys from lower tier schools, you know, are they cut out to do it at a higher level?
and I think if you take a guy like Huss at a lower salary, but offer him what other
A
additional
war
incentives,
chest.
right, to actually build up a good solid team that can run your scheme, that could be a potentially winning combo. But like I said, potentially is the word. You
Well,
don't have,
yeah.
you just don't know yet.
Well, and I'm, you know, you hit up on, you know, incentives, and I've probably said this before on here. You know, I'm a big fan of incentive-based contracts. Like everybody just has a base salary, and then you have incentives going up, right? Like I'm not going to pay you just to show up and coach basketball, but if you start winning, there are levels to, so you basically make it a, you know, a performance-based contract,
Right.
which I think. Which I like, that's my biggest thing in the, I think it should be in the NFL. I think every position should have a
Yeah.
baseline, like minimum contract that everybody gets. And then you get rich based on what you do from there.
I think you can give them bonuses. I say like beat a top 10 team. What was it?
No,
Or
it's, yeah.
let me kind of float along. Rivals. One in particular. This is just a personal thing. Beat Arkansas on the road, which is something that has not happened at an A&M basketball team since 92. Find a way to do that. But I would say definitely like conference championships, sure. Win a conference tournament, sure. Bonuses for the rounds that you get through, sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. And escalate, like exponentially escalating bonuses with each round. 100%. Yeah. You win a conference title, you win a conference tourney. You know, making the tournament, I don't think should be a bonus.
No, I think making the tournament, especially with a school at our level with our resources, should be par for the
Be
course.
expected.
Yeah, exactly. That is par for the course.
Well, what's funny is we were talking about this the other day on the radio. It's funny because it feels like Buzz has almost raised the expectations. And Louis was talking about this too. It's like Buzz has raised the expectations to where we're like, we should be getting to the Sweet 16 here and there. Like,
Absolutely.
it's not this. I don't think it's quite the standard just yet, but we should be able to make the Sweet 16, right?
Right.
And now, how you find a coach to do that, nobody knows, right? But I mean, Alabama did a great job hiring Nate Oates.
They found
It's
a
not
way.
unheard of. You know, it's not unheard of. Bruce Pearl at one point was an up and comer. You know, it's just
And most of these guys were.
right. And so for me, like I'm not scared for them to hire something like that. But you just make an incentive-based contract to where you're able to dump more money into the NIL fund. And quite frankly, in basketball, two players, if you can grab two just smoking players, you turn a program around 1 year. You know, basketball is, I know it's a team sport, but it can be really dependent on having one really good player.
It's more so than I think any other team sport out there. You can have a team like basketball because you have five dudes on that court, and if you got one or two dudes on that team, it picks up the entire momentum of the ball club. Everybody wants to play better because they know that they need to meet that standard, and they advance, or at least try to advance to the level of those guys. They're not always going to get there, but they can contribute and make the team better. Because, oh, hey, we're playing with so and so. This is a big, you know, this is a big part of our team.
Yeah, if you can go buy two, if you can go buy two guards and get Payne and Solo to stay, you can
Right.
be effective in year one. Just got to make sure that we give them the NIL. Whoever comes in, we give them the NIL money. And if it's an up and comer, then it makes it easier because you're not going to financially stress the contract. You know, it's not going to be some huge albatross that we're going to do. And as long as we're not, you know, if he has success in year one, as long as we're not stupid enough just to automatically give him an extension. But yeah, you bring him in probably on a 4-year contract. You pay him top 50 money.
Sure.
I mean, Buzz was top 10. He was getting paid top 10. He wouldn't give us top 10 results. So
At no
yeah, you pay
point. He won two first round games in the 6 years he was here
him.
as top 10 getting paid coach. That's
That's a crap on our
negligence.
lives. But you know,
I had to call
out of those names, though, you're going to give them a pay bump from where they're at, right? I mean,
Sure, of course.
That guy can't be making much at High Point. Like, no offense to High Point.
No, but the thing is, like, you give them the incentive of, yeah, you are going to get paid more. Plus, here's what you could potentially make if you do what your job is. What a novel concept for any job. If you, I mean, like, let's just take me, for example, with what I get paid with Carson Jeffrey, right? Let's say I get a call from, I don't know, William Clark Green, right? And he says, hey, I'm going to pay you X amount of money, plus you're going to make this much more if we get sellout crowds. I mean, there's an incentive to go take that job as a musician, right? Just like it would be the incentive of any coach to come in and do their job. I think that that's a fair comparison.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like these contracts need to be structured around results.
Yeah, I agree.
And I feel that way for every sport, pretty much.
Yeah, I
I mean,
think
you give
that's.
them a baseline salary, obviously, an attractive baseline salary, but you give them incentives.
Yeah.
Everybody likes making more money. Everybody. Every single
Everybody.
person. Yeah, the richest people in the world. You know why they're the richest people in the world? Because they don't stop trying to make money every day. So,
Okay. Let's see what we got here. So, had a couple of questions for us. And the thing is, they kind of connect, so I'm just going to combine the questions from each of them and just take like one half of one guy's question versus the other. So, Lizard Hominid or Komodo John makes a comment. He said, do you think Early should be fired after the season? And then San Antonio Dave, God bless him, said, star during the season to have that question. So, we'll tackle that as the first half of the question. So, do you think Early should be fired after this season?
well, we're gonna address them both during or after.
No,
What do you want
during
to
or
say?
after. I mean, yeah, let's
Okay.
address them both.
So firing a coach during a season is one of the worst things you can do. It's a bad look for your program. It's a bad look, relative to coaches looking at your program that could be potential candidates. The only time you fire people mid-season is you're talking about conduct issues, right?
Exactly.
Like they do something off the field that is egregious, then you can fire him for cause. There's nothing good can come of firing him during the season.
Agree.
Firing him after the season.
If things are on the track they are right now.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. It's just going to depend on how we finish. It's tough, man, because you want to give new coaches a chance, but we also know the roster we handed him. But then we also look at the fact of what we lost to injury. So now all of a sudden, like you still have talent on the team, but it's less protected when you're talking about the batting order. You're missing pitchers, and so it's forced him to make some roster and, or some lineup some lineup decisions that he wouldn't have had to make, quite frankly. So then you just kind of have to figure out like. Do you want to give him another year? And I think that has to do with how we finish this season. Quite frankly, it's performance based, right? That's the metric for coaches is winning. And so right this second, I wouldn't say you fire him at the end of the season because I don't know what's going to happen between now and then. If you stay on this same trajectory and we end up with like 5 wins in conference, I think you have a really good case for canning him. And I don't think it'll be a bad look anywhere. The optics won't be bad. You gave this guy the keys to, well, it was a Ferrari, and then it turns out like it was kind of like a Ferrari stripped down, like a Ferrari with a V6, like yeah, because what he lost, but still. He managed to run it into a tree. So if he stays on the trajectory he's on right now, I can absolutely see him being fired. I'm on the fence because the season's not over yet. But if he ends with like, yeah, but if he ends with like 3 or 5 conference wins, this team's better than that. All right. And so yeah, I think you seriously consider letting him go. And that's one thing where Trev Alberts. We always say it, right? Every good AD in his top drawer has a list of 4 to 5 coaches for every sport ready to go, no matter what happens. And that's something where if we stay on this trajectory, he needs to start moving behind the scenes
Yes.
and getting it figured out. And just don't let it catch you by surprise, or it's just, and not that I think it would, because the decision, if you're going to fire somebody, you know you're going to, right? So it
Right.
shouldn't catch you by surprise. But he'll have the opportunity in, a 4 month span to make two of the three big hires. So I wouldn't want to be him, that's for sure, right now.
No, and it's a tough position to be in, right? I mean, all of a sudden you're sitting in a world where you've already had a coach leave. You have a women's basketball coach that, in all likelihood, the way that things trended there and the amount of players that left that program, that's going to be a hire that's going to take pretty quick.
I don't even know where to go with that program right now.
Right. They're completely lost. It's
I mean,
insane.
they had somebody, they did have somebody portal in, so there's that.
Sure.
But to not even be able to like fill a full roster, I mean, it's got to be a fireable offense, quite frankly.
Gotta be.
I mean, just go to, we got 65,000 students on campus. Find somebody and give them a scholarship.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, and all of a sudden, baseball's not nearly living up to the expectations they were handed at the beginning of the season, and it's a snowball. It's just a snowballing situation. So I don't want us to be in a position where he's going to have to fire somebody at the end of the season. But the fact of the matter is, if Early does stay on this trend, I don't foresee him surviving.
How do you keep them?
How do you keep him? Like, how do you justify keeping him? Because
No.
the fan base is already getting frustrated with it. Obviously, the players will continue to look at that situation and be like, man, do I even want to go get involved with all that? Or do we lose some of these key people we picked up out of the portal that were, lower level guys or even freshmen that are going to want to transfer out and go compete? I don't blame them. I don't blame anybody. When you have when you have the capability to go in this environment, I don't blame anybody for wanting to not want to go and compete.
Well, and I think there's something to be said for not letting the players hold the program hostage.
Right.
Like, when you go to hire a coach, you hire a coach believing that he will build a roster either with the people you have or with people he will find because of the portal, right? And I'm not necessarily saying that's what happened, but it sure kind of is starting to feel like that's what happened with baseball, is really the roster pretty much held the program hostage, like hire him or we're all gone kind of thing.
Pretty much is what it felt like.
Yeah, it's kind of what it feels like, man. And now, if you'd have come in and done a great job, we wouldn't think that at all.
Oh, no, we would all be singing his praises. We'd be pumping up the players. Everybody be like, see, this is revenge tour. This is what we were talking about. This is the Empire Strike Back, all that. No, that's not what happened.
He's the next big thing. We got him. So it's a
No.
tough situation, man. Like you said, if he stays, like if they just kind of stay on the flat deadline that they're at, I don't see how you can keep him.
I don't see it either. So that leads into question number two. This is from Texas Aggie Matt 15, our buddy. But if the baseball season continues on the course that it is, do you think there will be a coaching change? And if so, who do you see being targeted? So that lines in with that list of names.
Oh man.
I have one off the top of my head, but I'll go ahead and.
No, you go ahead, man.
So if I had to go after a guy right now, I kind of like Rob Vaughn out of Alabama.
Yeah, he would probably be at the top. Well, Vitello would be at the top of my list, but he already told us no, right? He's got an extension.
Yeah, Vitello ain't gonna be it.
I would love to get Rob Vaughn here. I mean, he's mentioned about being here. And quite frankly, Alabama doesn't put the resources and the time into baseball that we do. Alabama's like, they're just kind of one of the few programs in the SEC that just doesn't do it. It's weird to me because Alabama are complete freaks about everything else.
Right. And I think they could build that, but at the same time, you have the opportunity to go get a guy like him and he wants to be here. Why wouldn't you go get him?
Well, and from his perspective, I have the opportunity to walk into this kind of support, this kind of, to walk in a situation where I'm not worried about the roster, but he's also a name that people thinking about leaving would take pause and be like, all right, I want to talk to this dude because I saw what he did at Alabama in a short period of time. But the biggest thing is you'll have to money whip him because Alabama will not go quietly, knowing what they've got now.
Right.
So you're talking about a pretty significant, salary, but. from what Alabama looks like, he certainly earned it. And so then the question is, does he really love being in Alabama, or does he understand that baseball in Alabama is by far the third most important sport, and it's not even close?
Yeah, certainly behind football and basketball at this stage. I mean, you can't have a team that has been built up like Alabama basketball, right? Like, that's not going to fall below baseball anytime soon. You have far too many teams in
No.
the SEC that have funneled so much into baseball. I mean, and if you look at, like, just Tennessee as an athletic department right now, okay? They're outstanding. I mean, they've looked great across the board in every single major sport. Women's basketball is competitive. Men's basketball is competitive. Football is competitive. Baseball is competitive. Softball is competitive. I mean, they're all very good,
Yep.
and that's just something that's been built. And Alabama, sure, they've got the two big ones. Sure. Softball's not as big as they have been.
Yeah, Alabama softball is pretty big. Baseball, I would probably say, is actually fourth at Alabama, because
Might be.
it's probably football,
Football.
basketball, and baseball.
Yeah.
Roll Tide, Paul. Roll Tide.
Okay.
That would be a name that I would 1,000% go after, and that's one where you're comfortable throwing a pretty big book at him. I don't know what his buyout's like. I don't care. Like, this is one where you go get a dude that's now proven it in conference. He talks glowingly of A&M. See if you can get him to come home, man.
It's a, that's that would that'd be my first call. The second one, if we don't get Vaughn because Alabama just decides to throw as much money as they possibly can at him. If I had to go for number two, it's a name I've thrown around many times. He is not a big coach by any means, but he's a proven coach that has experience here and some guy who honestly does a good job at getting his teams to the tournament and competing. And that's Matt Deggs. Go steal
Oh, I was gonna say,
him from Louisiana.
thought you were going with Rob Childress.
I wasn't gonna go with Rob. I mean, here's the I love Rob. I love Rob. Every single time I'd go sing the national anthem at the ballpark and walk into the dugout, he would every single time he would come up to me and be like, "Outstanding performance again, Rob." And I'd say, "Thanks, Rob." And that was our little deal. I love the guy. He was an outstanding pitching coach.
Just couldn't get over the hump, man.
His heart is in Nebraska. He should be in Nebraska. I'm totally fine with him staying away from this program. I wouldn't want him coming back anyway.
I don't want him here.
I
No,
want him
he's
back. He's got his
got.
freaking jersey on the wall. He doesn't need to come back.
Yeah,
If I had,
Deggs is a good one.
Deggs is perfectly fine. Deggs has done very good things at Louisiana, and that's a school that, yes, it does put a lot more into their baseball than maybe some other schools in the South. But that's a program that he largely has built and done a great job with and has always had great things to say about A&M. I would happily go after Diggs.
Yeah.
And
Well, he's also he's in a state having to compete against LSU, and he's not in the SEC. So, those are both two intriguing things, both how we look at him and how he looks at us. So, yeah, I mean, if they do get rid of Early, that's probably the order 1-2.
I would
And,
agree.
unless Alberts has got a great relationship with somebody somewhere that's a head coach that he can pull, kind of like the way CDC and Schloss did.
Will Bolt go steal him back from Nebraska? Oh, that would be funny. But
I hope our coaching search is geographically larger than Nebraska.
I pray.
Yes.
I love Nebraska. Go Big Red, but I'm good.
I'm not even gonna say that.
So, anyhow, rest of your week, how's it looking?
Well, man, we're basically at the end of it, I've actually got kind of a busy weekend. Got some showings this afternoon, and then we've got a client event over at Top Golf on Saturday, and then after that, Ray Wiley Hubbard will be in Bryan, so we're going to
Yes.
the Ray Wiley Hubbard concert.
That's on is that on Saturday night? Or is that
Saturday, I think it's the Palace Theater. I think
okay.
that's
Yeah.
right.
Oh, I love Ray Wiley Hubbard, man.
Yeah, so I've never seen him live, so I'm really looking forward to it.
He's so funny.
And then Sunday, I have something Sunday. I don't know.
Something.
Oh, Kira's birthday was Wednesday. She
Okay.
turned 20, and so we didn't bowl. So on Sunday we have to go. They call it post bowling. So you have to go out and bowl on Sunday, but that's about it for me.
There you go.
Probably cook something. You know me.
Yeah, I know you. Yeah. Like I said, we had a good little week. Alex came into town, so we were hanging here and doing some cleaning or organizing around this house because womanly touch is always a nice thing to have at a bachelor pad. Can't complain about that. So we had that going on. That was a good week. We are on our way to San Saba, Texas for the Pecan Bottom Festival tomorrow. And
Nice.
looking at the forecast, oh God. So as y'all
Yeah.
know, big cold front crashing across the nation today. Big storm chances, more tornadoes up in Arkansas. My God, Arkansas is just getting beat to hell this week with
Yeah.
tornadoes. Pray for those people. They've been having a rough go, and they're not done yet. They're having storms today. They're having storms on Saturday, and it looks like it should be well away from them by Sunday, hopefully. But they have just been getting raked over the coals in Arkansas. So please pray for those people. But out in San Saba, the line's coming through overnight. We're going to have a lot of rain that we're going to be driving through on our way out there. And then by the time we get there, it's going to be cold, overcast, and windy for an outdoor spring festival.
Might think. Nope,
And
and yeah.
we're going to be playing golf.
Oh no.
That was Travis's whole deal. He's like, "We're gonna go play some golf." I'm like, "You are out of your mind." But okay, if you want to give it a shot, we're gonna try. So we go play that festival. And then next week we're gonna be rolling down to the Galveston County Fair. We'll be with us and Braxton Keith. That should be a fun day. And then Tyler that Saturday. But quick little anecdote before I cut you loose. In regards to Ray Wiley Hubbard. So Ray, actually, we played with him in Borger, Texas, a while back, and he came up to us right before we were going to go because he's going to headline, right? He's the bigger name. We're going to open for him. We get there, and Ray's like, "Boys, honestly, I just want to get out of here as quick as I can. Do y'all want to go second?" We were like, "Sure, okay."
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so we're like, okay, buddy, we can do that. So I am sitting after our sound check. I'm sitting there smoking a cigar. The rest of the boys decide to go run up this hill, and I'm just smoking. Ray Wiley Hubbard comes up to me and taps me on the shoulder, and he goes, "Well, how are you doing, young man?" I'm like, "Oh, pretty good, Ray. How are you?" And he goes, "Well, I woke up on this side of the dirt, so I guess I'm doing all right." And he just walks away.
Sounds about right.
My one conversation I ever had with Ray Wiley Hubbard, and it was perfect.
Nice.
Love Ray. Thank you guys so much once again for listening today. Be sure to follow us on all the socials and continue to ask us questions. We're getting some new people in on the comments too. That's always nice. It's not pretty. It's kind of an ugly part of our athletic world at the moment, but there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. We are going to continue to roll. There's going to be some good things.
Well, and I do want to say one thing because this always bugs me. When we have failings in athletics and people use the phrase, I'm embarrassed to be an Aggie, like you can absolutely miss me with that shit. Like,
Yes,
bro, if the successes and failures of sports is what defines your pride in Texas A&M, like you probably need to reevaluate your life.
you need to go find a different school.
Yeah.
Quickly.
Just quit watching sports, man.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, what we are the Aggies are we support each other. We support each other through the thick and thin. We're always going to kind of be the butt of somebody's joke, and guess what? It does not matter because you individually let it get to you. You
Yeah,
need to, yeah.
baseball may not win another game this year, and I'm going to watch every game.
Yeah, I'll
Still
watch them as
going to
often as
support
I can.
them. They're wearing maroon and white.
Yeah, it's like we support our Aggies. We support them across each of the teams, and we're not going to sit here and just be like, "No, guys, it's okay. We'll get there. We'll get there." No, it's just we support our team, and
Yeah.
they'll get there or they won't. And at the end of the day, this ring ain't coming off this hand.
Yeah.
We support
But
our boys. Be sure to follow Roy May. That's Roy May 15 on X and Roy Jr. Roy,
Roy May Jr.
Roy
on
May
Instagram.
Jr. on Instagram. Rob the Slapper on both. And be sure to follow the Red Ass Podcast as well. Leave likes, subscribe, comment, follow the podcast.
Share
The
it.
notifications turned on so you know as soon as we are uploading that you're ready to roll. And we'll be back to our regularly scheduled program next week, hopefully, just and keep on rocking and rolling from there. Thank you all so much for following along. This is the Red Ass Podcast. Take care. Beat the hell out of Tennessee. Beat the hell out of Georgia. And yeah, let's get ourselves a basketball coach. Dig him.
Dig him.